Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, as we continue our series through book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. We're getting down toward the end here, and title my message here this morning, A Heart to Hear God's Word, A Heart to Hear God's Word. Verse 20 says, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, despise not prophesying. Despise not prophesying. Pray with me here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather around your word, thank you for this heavenly manna that you've given to us. And Lord, I pray that your word would speak from heaven to our hearts. And the Holy Spirit would illuminate your word to our hearts. Help me be a vessel that brings glory and honor to your Son, to your word, and advances your kingdom in each of our hearts. So Lord, bless us as your people, and may the Spirit of God lead us into all truth. And we'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, it's a very short little verse here. Despise not prophesying. You know, as we got down to the end of here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is just hitting us with, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything gives thanks. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. It's almost like a machine gun. Boom, 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 boom. Just hitting us with these truths. But they're so relevant for us as believers. They're so important to us. Very short, very succinct, but very significant for us as believers. And why would the Holy Spirit inspire the Apostle Paul to put those three or four words here, quench not the Spirit, quench not the Spirit? Why would the Holy Spirit put that in there? Well, we have a new nature as believers, but we have what? An old nature too. And the old nature opposes the new nature. And sometimes the old nature needs to be brought into check here. Well, let's just look at this verse here for a minute. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Those three words, despise not prophesying. You know, as the Holy Spirit works in our lives, as the Holy Spirit indwells a believer's life, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. We don't want to put that fire out. And in verse 20, when it says, despise not prophesying, well, what does that word despise mean? If you despise something, it means to look down on it, to treat it with contempt, to be repulsed by it, to think very little of it. To despise something is to abhor it, to shrink from it, to be repelled by it, not to bear it, find it intolerable. Is there any other way to say it? There probably is 100 more ways, but you just don't like it. And why would anybody despise prophesying? Now, despise not. Well, what is prophesying? Oftentimes, in our understanding, sometimes we think of that word as telling something, you're prophesying something that's going to happen in the future. Now, with prophesying, there can be foretelling, that's telling the future, but it also means forthtelling. You tell something forth. It's public speaking. You're telling something forth. Your prophesying can carry two elements. Either it's something that may happen in the future, or it may be something that God's already revealed, and that you're just expounding upon what God has already revealed. That's forthtelling. So it carries that two aspects of it there, something that God revealed in the future, or something God's already revealed in the past, that you are just forthtelling. You're telling what has happened, or what God wants to happen. Now, with that being said, in prophesying, there's two components. Either it's spoken or it's written. It has those two elements. So either something that God has spoken or something God has written down. It has either those two dimensions to it. Despise not what was spoken. Despise not what was written as far as God's will. We might say it like this, declaring the mind of God in the power of the Spirit, prophesying. declaring the mind of God in the power of the Spirit. When somebody is speaking forth, you're declaring what God's will is, the mind of God. What does God have to say about this matter? And you're declaring that. You're speaking that forth. The word prophesying, you're just declaring the mind of God, but you're under the control of the Holy Spirit is guiding your thoughts and what you say. Despise not prophesying. Now, why do people despise prophesying? Why do they despise God's word? Why do people despise it? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to look at a few verses there in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 17. And I want to look at verse 9 here for a minute. Why do people despise prophesying? Jeremiah 17, 9. Say this along with me. If you have your Bibles open, if you found Jeremiah, if you even know it by heart, it's a good memory verse. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. I want us as a congregation to say this verse together. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That is the reason why some people despise prophecy. The heart is deceitful above all things. That our hearts within us, God says His will, His mind on a matter, and we say, I don't like that. It's because our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Now, give me some of the attributes of God. God is merciful, He's kind, He's loving. But God is a good God. And if God is good, isn't His will good? In Romans 1 and 2, it says that it says these words in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What God's will for us, His mind, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, this is His will, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that. And what's that next word? Good. All those things that God, it's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But why don't people live out Romans 12, 1 and 2? It's because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when it says who can know it, we don't even know our own selves sometimes. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20, despise not prophesying. Who is that written to? Believers or unbelievers? Who is it written to? Believers. Whoa. You mean that God would have to tell us as believers that we don't despise the spoken word, we don't despise the written word, that we don't look down upon it? Yes. The Apostle Paul says, the will that I will to do, I do not, and what I will not, that's what I find myself what? Doing. And sometimes for us as believers, God speaks in ways that He knows us. Because Jeremiah 79 says, who can know it? We don't even know our own deceitful hearts. But God does. And because He knows us, we're prone to wander as God's people. All we like what? Sheep have gone astray. Where does a sheep, you know how a sheep operates, all right? Sheep's got a few things on their mind. One is eating, okay? They like to eat. And so there's a little nibble of grass. Oh, this is good. Yum, 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 chew, chew, chew. I got grass. How about you? They're just eating away on this grass. And they see something else and something else and something else. And they just keep eating. And before they look around, they have no idea where they are. They've wandered off. And all they've been doing is eating all day. And they don't know where to get back home, and they're lost. All we like sheep have gone astray because our own deceitful heart leads us in the wrong way. And God says, I've got something here for you. He says, don't you despise prophets? Don't you despise the Word of God and what the Bible has? Don't you despise that? Because you don't even know your own heart, but God says, I know your heart, and you're going to wander away from me. That's your inclination. And I tell you, God says, what I'm going to do to you, I'm going to give you a book. I'm going to fill that book up. Now, in John it says that if all the things were written about Jesus Christ that could be written, all the volumes in the world couldn't contain it. Of what we could, God put everything he wanted us to know for our Christian life in that Bible. And for some of us, you know what we need to do? We need to master that book. We need to know what Genesis is about, and Exodus, and Leviticus, all the books of the Bible, the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We need to know what the Bible says, because our hearts are deceitful, and God has given this book to us to help us live our Christian life. We want to finish our race well. Some of us have not started well, but you can what? End well as God's people. You may not start well. Your life may have been a pretty bad start, but you can end well. Despise not prophesying. With God's word, don't you look down on it. Some people don't take that to heart. Turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Why don't people take God's word seriously? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. Why don't they take it seriously? It's found right here in verse 4. In whom the God of this world, that's Satan, the prince and power of the air, Diabolos, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why don't people embrace the scriptures, follow the scriptures? The God of this world has blinded the minds. I have talked to people, try to reason with them from the scriptures, how Jesus died on the cross, was buried, rose again the third day, how they can be saved from their sins. And I've had people that I've tried to talk to them about God, and it's just like it goes right by them. They don't hear it. They don't get it. They don't understand it. And the scariest thing is they don't even care. They don't seem like they even care about their eternal destiny, where they're going to spend eternity at. And why? Because they're blind. When you're blind, you don't see. When you're blind, you can't comprehend. When you're blind, you can't get your hands around it. When you're blind, it makes no sense to you. When you're blind, you think it's foolishness. The minds, how they think, what they focus their minds upon, blinded the minds of them that believe not. Why do people despise prophesying? The heart is deceitful. Why do they despise prophesying? They have a certain blindness about them. A certain blindness about them. What can we say about the Bible? Does the Bible speak with authority? Okay, the Ten Commandments. Give me one of the Ten Commandments, any of them. Thou shalt not kill? Okay, think about that for a minute. Is that an authoritative statement? That's very authoritative. God says, thou shalt not kill. That's very authoritative. That Bible contains that verse. Now, let's just say somebody goes out and commits murder and they never get right with God. They go to the electric chair. What is that person going to do? It's appointed to the man once to die, and after that, what? The judgment. What is that person that dies in the electric chair that's unrepentant, never gets saved? What's going to happen to them when they stand before God? God's going to say to them, I said to you, thou shalt not kill. It was written on your heart. It was written in the scriptures. And you disobeyed my commandments. That God that we're talking about, he speaks with authority. Why? He is God. And there's none else. And when God speaks, he speaks with authority. And people that despise prophesying, despise the spoken and written word of God, are despising ultimately who? Almighty God. That is who they're setting themselves up against. They're setting themselves up against Almighty God. And God says to us, don't you despise this. Don't you look down on it. Don't you treat it with contempt. Because one day, everyone will answer to God. One day, everyone will answer to God. With that thought in mind, turn to Jeremiah chapter 36 here. We're going to look at somebody. We're going to look at a king here. And Jeremiah 36, verse 11. Micaiah, the son of Jermara, the son of Shepham, heard out of the book all the words of the Lord. All right, these three guys, they heard the word of God. Jeremiah had given them this word, the words of the book. They went down to the king's house and to all the scribes in the chambers, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, Delilah, the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan, the son of Achbor, Gemariah, the son of Shephaniah, Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words he had heard when Barak read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaim, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, unto Barak, saying, take in thy hand the roll. Now, what is the roll? That would be what? That would be the written word of God. What God spoke through Jeremiah, Barak the scribe wrote it down. The scroll would be what God said. Take this roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people. So Barak, the son of Neriah, took the roll, the scroll, and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. Now, as this unfolds here, despise not prophesying. In a person's heart, they got to decide, do I want to hear what God Almighty has to say? Or am I going to do what I want to do? See, it's really a contest of whose word will stand. It came to pass, verse 16, they heard all the words, and they were afraid, both one and the other, and said unto Barak, we shall surely tell the king all these words. Now, in the scroll, Jeremiah had said how the king of Babylon, because the children of Jerusalem and Judea had turned against God, worshiped their idols, rebelled against the word of the Lord, God had enough. He says, I'm going to send Babylon, the king Nebuchadnezzar, to you to judge you for your sins. That was God's word. That's what God said. They were concerned. They wanted to go tell the king. And they asked Barak, saying, tell us now, how did thou write all these words at his mouth? Now, this was prophesying. Jeremiah spoke, Barak wrote down. You had the spoken, you had the written. Then Barak, verse 18, answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then the princes said unto Barak, go and hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. He went in the king's court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber. Elishama the scribe told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi, fetch the roll, and came and took it in Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter's house. In the ninth month, there was a fire in the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass when Jehudi had read three or four leaves or parts of the scroll, he cut it with a penknife and cast it in the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Now, what did the king do with that prophesying, that prophecy, that word of God? What did he do? He just burned it up. Do you think he treated it with contempt? Do you think he disdained that? Do you think he looked down on it? Do you think he didn't care what God had to say? Do you think he was making a statement to his other men? This is what I think about Jeremiah the prophet. Burn it. burn it. Burn it. He was making a statement. He was making a statement what he thought about the Word of God. Was he despising what Jeremiah had written? Was he despising the Word of the Lord? He was. Look at verse 24. Yet they were not, what's that next word? Afraid. Now think about that. Jeremiah just said to them through the Word of the Lord, the Babylonians are coming, Nebuchadnezzar's coming, they're going to tear down this city and burn it with fire unless you do this one thing. You submit yourselves under the hand of King Nebuchadnezzar. You open your doors, you submit to his authority, and it'll go well with the city. But if you resist him, you're going to be consumed with fire. You have a real contest going on here. Whose word's going to stand? They weren't afraid. Now, why weren't they afraid? They turned to idolatry. And what does 2 Corinthians 4:4 says? The God of this world is what? Blinded their minds. They couldn't think right. They weren't thinking God's thoughts. They weren't thinking the will of God. They weren't afraid. They didn't tear their garments. The king nor any of his servants had heard all these words. It fell on deaf ears. Verse 25, Elitha then, and Delilah, Jeremiah, made intercession. They pleaded with the king that he would not burn the scroll, but he would not what? Hear them. He wouldn't hear part of it. Now, did these guys do the right thing? Absolutely. You know, if we run into people that treat the Word of God with contempt, what do? We plead with them. We reason with them. We speak with them. Don't do this thing. Don't you do this. It's not right. It's not good. They were placing themselves in the will of God, speaking for the will of God. You know, verse 26, the king wanted to capture Barak and Jeremiah, but God had hid them. And verse 27, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after the king had burned the scroll. And the word that Barak wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah saying, take thee again another scroll and write in it all the former words. You know what that says to me? The word of God, God preserves the integrity of Scripture. The king destroyed the Word of God. God just had Jeremiah write it again. The integrity of Scripture was preserved. The Word of the Lord was preserved. And they wrote it again. Look at verse 29. This is the reason the king rebelled. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned the scroll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land and shall cause it to cease thence from man and beast? The king didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to believe it. Now, a moment ago I said, this word speaks with authority. Is it historically accurate to say that the king of Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem? Is that true history? That is true history. Now, I tell you, whose word stood at that moment, the king's word or God's word? God's word stood. Are you a wise person or a foolish person if you despise prophesying of God's word? If you despise the scriptures and look down on, are you wise or foolish? You are foolish. You are foolish beyond foolishness if you look with contempt on the scripture. Because God's word is going to be established and God's will is going to be accomplished. Every word of God is true and will accomplish that which he has written therein. You know, Paul ran into this. Turn to the book of Acts here. Last chapter, Acts 28. Paul is in Rome. He made that voyage, a very troubled time for Paul. Paul preserved his life. Many times God in the book of Acts said, Paul, you'll testify me in Rome. And if the Jews had their way, many times they tried to kill Paul, but God, through his providence, his superintending Holy Spirit, preserved Paul's life. He's in Rome. He's in his own rented house. And he's speaking to the Jews there about the kingdom of God and about what will happen. Verse 24, and some believed those things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. You know, Paul, even in his own life here, speaking to the Jews, some would believe, some would not believe. Some despised the word of God, some did not. In 1 Thessalonians 5:20, despise not prophesying. What does that mean for you and for me? Is your home a Bible-centered home? What do I mean by that? Do you honor the word of God around your house? Do you read the scriptures to your children? Do you have a Bible that you have devotions with, that you read day by day? Are you a Bible-centered home? Because if you're not, you know what you're doing subconsciously? You're despising the scriptures if you don't have a Bible-centered home. You're, in some ways, you're despising what God has said. You're looking down on it. You're not following hard after it. Despise not prophesying. With that being said, we can get so busy in our life that the best things get pushed aside, like the Word of God. Now, I might meddle here a little bit, so bear with me. How much time do you spend on Facebook, on texting, on emails, on all these things that aren't going to amount to anything in eternity? You've got so much of your day that you spend on those things. How much time do you spend with God in His Word compared to those things? Because if you are on Facebook for an hour a day and you only have 5 minutes for God, would it be fair to say that you're looking down on Scripture, so to speak? That you're despising Scripture, so to speak? We all can be busy, but we've got to be careful that we keep priorities first things first. Always put God first, and then everything else after that. God is like the center of your life, and everything else is around. You put God first and form everything around. What we don't want to do is end up our lives that we are despising what God has said. Now, with that being said, what does verse 19 say? Quench not what? The Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about verse 20, what you don't want to do is put that fire out. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you that you can do more for me in my kingdom, and you're just like, that really cramps my lifestyle, that really is too sacrificial for me, that's really more than what I want to commit to, what you don't want to do is quench the Spirit and look down on Scripture, because you're going to end up in a place you don't want to be. Now, with that being said, do you see what verse 21 says? Prove all things, hold fast that which test or prove. If somebody speaks the word of the Lord, if somebody is speaking in the name of the Lord, you want to make sure they're speaking truth. And how do you do that? What does it say in verse 21? Now, we want to honor Scripture. We honor what the forth-telling of God's Word, but prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Test it. How can you test if somebody's telling you the truth from Scripture? How do you test that? You've got to know what? The Scriptures. So if you're not following through in verse 20, that you're not in the Scriptures, you don't know the Scriptures, there's people out there that are making millions of dollars off believers who don't know the Word of God, because they'll say, send me some money and I'll pray for you And God will bless you and give you more back than you ever give. And people, out of their desperation who don't know Scripture, they send these people millions of dollars. And these people have no idea that's not doing them any good. And all they're doing is giving their money away to an organization that's just using their money. But if you knew Scripture and you could compare Scripture to Scripture, you can prove that which is good. You can test it. And you hold fast to what is good. You know there's between good and evil because Scripture teaches you. See, all these verses work together. They don't stand alone, but they all interrelate together. You don't want to quench the Spirit. You don't want to look lightly on Scripture, but you want to test and make sure what you hear is true of God because you know the Scriptures and you're walking in the Spirit. All these things work together in your Christian life. So this coming week, do you know the Bible? Can you find your way through the Bible? In Sunday school, we talk about the Trinity. If you met a Muslim, I've talked to Muslims before. They go right after the Trinity. If you talk to them, they know how to try to trip Christians up. They are taught, this is what you ask them. And you've got to know your Bible because we're living in a world that is getting more the spirit of Antichrist every day. And we need to be believers that know the Word of God and we're able to articulate the doctrines and teachings of Scripture. Satan goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We don't want him to devour us or our families up. Despise not prophesying the Word of God, foretelling or forthtelling, the written or the spoken that God has given to us. But we test it to make sure what we hear is lining up with Scripture. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these few short words and verses out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I pray as believers this coming week that we would honor your word and that we would articulate it and we would be those that believe and that we would fear you and we would trust you and what you say will come to pass. Lord, thy word speaks with authority. And Lord, the prophecies that have come forth prove beyond measure that the Bible is the Word of God. So, Lord, help us this week to honor your Word and to put you first and not to get caught up in things in the culture and waste our time on things that really don't mount for eternity. So, Lord, I pray for your blessing and guidance upon us as believers.